As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
There's no reason to rehash all the things that happened when Aaron Rodgers was a Jet. But there's things about what he said, if you're to believe everything he said, that would give you some concern about the new regime sort of getting their feet wet as a first-time GM and a first-time head coach. So he wants to get into it. He wants to talk about it in this interview as I was listening, driving in. And he said that he thought he was going to fly across country and it was going to be hours of talking. And even if they were going to move on from him, he figured they would pick his brain and it would just be one of these real productive things. And it turned out that he sits in there, and as he's talking with Aaron Glenn in the middle of the conversation, as Aaron Rodgers tells it, Aaron Glenn gets up and darts out of the room. And he's like, well, that's really weird. We're in the middle of a conversation. So then he brings in Darren Mooji at that point. So he goes out of the room, he brings in Mooji. So then they're all three of them are sitting there, and they're talking. And then apparently, according to Aaron Rodgers, Mooji's talking, and then Aaron Glenn scoots up to the end of his seat and goes, so you want to play football? And then Aaron Rodgers says, well, I mean, I'm trying to figure that out, you know, I don't know. And then he goes, well, we're going to go in a different direction. And then at that point, Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I flew across country on my own dime here for this to happen, and you're just like kind of acting in this way. And then, you know, he also said something along the lines of, he goes, you know, how do you want this to go down? Like, how do you want the release and the messaging? And Aaron Rodgers is like, I don't care about the messaging. And he goes, well, what I don't want to happen is have you stand in the back of the room, and then I tell the team, you know, we're moving on from you, and then all the teammates are looking back at you and rolling their eyes. And Aaron Rodgers goes, well, you think I'm just going to stand back there and undermine you as the head? Like, you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Aaron Glenn goes, well, you don't know me. And then Aaron Rodgers says, exactly. That's why I flew out here to talk to you. And now you're just assuming things about me, and this is weird. So it ended up being like a 15-minute meeting. He hung around the facility for a little bit. He saw some of the training staff, and then he left, and that was that. But probably the most alarming thing that he said was a throwaway line that I don't know if many people, because that was big news there, might have picked up on. He goes, I feel like the coach, meaning Aaron Glenn, went a little rogue in this meeting because I had since had conversations with the general manager.
And Christopher Johnson.
So that to me is like, are you guys serious? You weren't on the same page there to the point where Aaron Glenn is now going rogue in this meeting, to the point where now Mooji's reaching out after the fact going, hey, man, I'm sorry. Now, I don't know if Mooji is lying to Aaron Rodgers and doing a good cop, bad cop thing. But Christopher Johnson, clearly he hates Woody, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the things he was saying, never mentioned his name, because I shouldn't be surprised with some of the stuff that I saw there in the 2 years and all these things with Woody. But Christopher Johnson's a really, really nice guy, so he's always going to have a good relationship with the players. But, like, I don't always believe everything Aaron Rodgers says, and sometimes he could be a bit insufferable, but I believe everything he said yesterday, and I could not believe that they would handle it like that.
Well, so first off, I don't know that had I not seen Aaron Glenn with the media on the handful of occasions that we have since he's gotten this job, I don't know that I would have believed this. I would have thought that this was some Aaron Rodgers bull crap and maybe, you know, highlighting or going a little too far and exaggerating a bit. But having seen the way Aaron Glenn dealt with Rich Samini and the Jet reporters and shutting down the quarterback talk, and it's my way or the highway type of attitude, which, by the way, if you win is fine. But boy, oh boy, if you don't win, the fans are going to get sick of that attitude very quickly.
Well, the players, too.
The players, too. So this is how I look at everything. We have sat there, and I'd be the first one who sat there and killed Aaron Rodgers for the distractions he caused when he talked about not being having a team full of distractions, but I really feel like he was a big part of that. Okay, fine, we'll put that to the side. When I look at this in particular, and I watched it, and I saw the body. By the way, clean shaven. He looks like he's 10 years younger.
Yeah, and really happy that. Out there in Malibu looking at the Dolphins. Yeah,
but everything he described, having seen Glenn with the media and the attitude he has, it made sense. I could actually envision the entire thing exactly the way Aaron Rodgers laid it out for us. And I don't think he was exaggerating at all. That sounds like the personality of Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, he needs to chill out a little bit. He's coming in here with too much of a chip on his shoulder and too much of the no. Like, I like the attitude of things have to change around here, and I have to have a stern personality and be the man. And those are the things we were asking for in a head coach, but someone with just experience. Like, you know, you have to have the alpha, you have to have that guy. But he's taking it too far. He's fighting with everybody. He's going into this thing assuming things about everybody, which I really don't like. You know, it's almost as if he was given this briefing by Woody Johnson or someone else in the organization, like, watch out for this guy. This guy's a jerk. This here is, as opposed to coming in and forming his own opinions on the situation.
Maybe.
And he's just coming in and just fighting everybody.
Yeah.
And maybe. I'm envisioning this now, like a year from now, him saying, you know, I came in here with a little bit too much of a chip on my shoulder, and I learned in the first year that, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do, and I need to chill out. And then, by the way, he also, Aaron Rodgers, talked glowingly about Brian Daboll.
Yeah, he did.
How much he loved Brian Daboll.
A beautiful football mind.
A beautiful football mind, exactly.
Yeah.
Really loves the guy, and he was awesome, and he really loved those conversations and all of that stuff. So, I mean, it's telling to me, and these are the things that I was worried about when you're hiring all these first-time guys, again, with the Jets, is just, like, how are they going to figure all this out on the fly?
The other thing you pointed out, which also goes to Rodgers' credit on his way out the door, was the reaction from the current players on the roster. Now, they brought in Justin Fields. That's fine. They're not going with a rookie who's done nothing. I mean, he was 4-2 last year. He was drafted very highly out of Ohio State, so it's not like they brought in a nobody. So I want to be clear about that. But, you know, when they let him go, you saw the tweets, and some were taken down. But I forget who it was, but there were a couple. Like, here we go, rebuilding again. Like, it seems to me that the players inside that, there's been a narrative by some that Aaron Rodgers is a team killer, and he's an arrogant, selfish SOB. But then when you hear and talk to the players, it doesn't sound like that at all. It seems like there are two different narratives and stories, and you don't know which one's real. But I will tell you, the more I see of him and the more I have read and seen from his former teammates, the document, all this different stuff, I sometimes think, you know, maybe it's the Jets. Maybe it's been the Jets. The injury sucked. There's nothing we can do about year one. I can't. No, if I go back, I was actually thinking of this driving in because I saw the headlines before I watched the McAfee thing this morning. I was trying to think back to 2 years ago when the Rodgers to the Jets thing was a thing. And then when Rodgers to the Jets thing became a thing and became official, and the way he was received at Madison Square Garden and anywhere he went, and the idea that the Jets had a guy, there was nobody. I mean, you find me the group of people that thought it was a bad idea. It didn't work out.
Yeah.
Not because he came here and completely sucked, but because, you know, the same way Vinny Testaverde's Achilles ruptured on the first quarter of the first game of the season. Crap happens, and it's a shame it didn't work out. But I'd love to know and be a fly in the room and know exactly how everybody feels about this guy.
Yeah, and I think that probably all of it is true. Like, I probably think that Garrett Wilson never got along on the same page as Aaron Rodgers, and him bringing in Devontae Adams pissed him off. I think that Mike Williams really didn't like the fact that he got publicly roasted about the red line, and he's not where he's supposed to be, and he probably could have handled that different. I also think that there's guys like Quinnen Williams and some of the guys on the defense that really appreciated him, and young guys that took his advice. And, you know, when Mekhi Becton was here the first year, you know, prior to going to Philadelphia, they had a relationship and some of those. I think all of it's true, because I just think that you can be different versions of yourself,
yep,
you know, and it depends on what experience you have. No one has the same consensus on any particular person. So I think all of it's true, but I just, the fact that the Jets made him fly out and handled that meeting that way is, and he said that, you know, I just felt it lacked respect. I mean, which it did. I mean, if that's the truth, that's disrespectful and it's unprofessional, and hopefully it's not a sign of things to come. But now, and by the way, as we talk about the players and how they feel about them, the players who liked Aaron Rodgers are now going to watch that.
Oh, for sure.
And they're the ones that didn't want Aaron Rodgers to go are now going to have this on top of that, and are going to go into this season with even more of a bad taste in their mouth about the head coach.
Very possibly. Yeah, very possibly. There's no doubt. The one, maybe throwaway, but I thought it was funny when he was talking about the length of the meeting, and he goes, I was kind of embarrassed because I told my pilots,
yeah,
go spend the day, get some dinner. He goes, and I look at my watch, I was done in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, guys, we got to go back.
Right. Well, no, he ended up staying. He went back to his house, but yeah.
I know he did, but ultimately, at first, he thought he was going to walk right back to the plane after he told him to go have a day.
Yeah. No, and he said he was really excited about it and thought it would be a good meeting. And he also said, you know, and I've been critical. I didn't want the Jets to bring Rodgers back because I think he's too old. He was going to get hurt again, and it just needed to end at that point. It needed to be a clean break. But the way they handled it, I think, was poor. But, you know, he is now, by the way, he talked a lot about the personal life stuff and what's going on and why he hasn't made a decision. Yep. And all of these things. But I just at this point, it feels to me that he's going to walk away from the game.
Maybe.
And if this Jet thing had gone a little bit better than it did, he might have had more of an itch to play. But the fact that it was a nightmare and he is now out there dealing with personal stuff, it almost feels like the world is telling him, let's not go do this
perhaps
again.
But then why go do the whole thing with DK Metcalf? You know, why?
Because he's probably, you know, he's investigating all of it. You know, I don't think that he's made up his mind. I think that he's investigating all of it.
See, I think, yes, but I still think we're sitting here 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that he's any closer to a decision today than he was yesterday. I mean, just watching that, I mean, there were times I'm watching that and I saw a guy who had determination still on his face that wanted to come back and not have it end this way. And then at other times when listening to him and hearing him about, he keeps saying the inner circle, he references his sister a bunch of times throughout the course of the interview. There's a guy that has other interests and has other things that he has to deal with. And maybe it isn't, maybe it is time. So I walked away from the 45-minute interview thinking that he still himself is not quite sure what he's going to do.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I guess we'll start with Aaron Rodgers again, as he did a solid 45 minutes on the McAfee show yesterday. First, we've heard from him since he met with the new Jets regime of Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. Flew cross country on his own dime, as he said, and it didn't take long for Glenn to make his feelings known after he apparently had run out of the room to bring Mooji in for what became a three-person meeting.
I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country, and 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his sheet and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback.
The little bit we've heard from Aaron Glenn so far, you can kind of picture that exchange, that interaction.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like, you can really, in your mind, you can see it exactly the way he described it.
Yeah, let's just get right to the point here. With that out of the way, Rodgers says they got to the point of what I guess the Jets really wanted to talk to him about, which was this.
And he goes, we just want to know how you want it released, the messaging. And I said, verbatim, I don't give a about the message.
Yeah, so I guess it got times quickly.
I am confused by that because then he talked about, when they were talking about the messaging, according to Rogers, he then said, Glenn said he didn't want to be up at the podium talking, and you're in the background. Oh, you're going to play now? I don't understand. Like, on one hand, he's talking about the messaging of being released or not re-signed, but then it quickly turned into the messaging when he's trying to give instructions and he's worried about Rogers saying something opposite him.
Yeah.
If he was released, what, like, that one didn't make sense to
me. You watched the whole thing.
I did.
My read on it, listening to the clip, was that I guess they got into the decision on the team wanting to move on, and Rogers was wondering if that's inaccurate.
Well, because
he asks why. Here's how that went.
And I said, why? And then he said, I don't want to be up in front of the room saying something and have guys looking back at you.
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Right. Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying?
So it seemed like Glenn giving one of the reasons for why they were going to not gonna go in a different direction.
Meaning the messaging of why they wanted to go in another direction was because you're going to one-up me.
Yes.
It seems like two type A guys, and you got a new head coach who's trying to, you know, turn things around, put his stamp on it, and build a new culture. And he doesn't want to do it with a future Hall of Fame quarterback.
When he said the messaging, I thought what he meant was, do you want to say that you didn't want to return, or we were moving in a different direction? And then they went into that whole thing.
Yeah.
So I was a little confused by that. But
maybe
okay.
It was so Glenn is explaining his side of it, of why he doesn't want him back, but then they're, I guess, in their eyes, giving Rogers the platform to spin it however he wanted, but now that he's given us the play-by-play of the meeting,
we
it's kind of
know.
Irrelevant.
Exactly.
You know? So, I will play you some more throughout the course of the morning.
There really is. When someone makes an assumption about you and has no idea who you are, that's one of the more frustrating things of all time. Like, honestly, like if someone comes up to you, they oh, I thought that you were a total jerk. So, like,
I live it every day, G.
You never talk to me.
Wow.
Ever.
You're really not an angry person.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, no, I'm not.
So I can understand him being pissed about that. Like you don't know a thing about me, and you're already assuming what I'm going to be doing if I'm on this team. I mean, I've been sitting in here. I just met you. I've been sitting in here for 5 minutes.
It felt like even before this meeting went down, just when we heard Aaron Glenn's initial answers when asked about Rogers, that he had already made up his mind.
Yeah, it was absolutely. It was dope. It was over and done with. Yeah.
I think Woody Johnson probably told him that. Over and done with.
And speaking, because Rogers made a thing about making me fly cross country. He could have just talked to me over the phone. And I shared this with Al. I don't know if you care about this. Someone pulled up the Rogers tweet from 2013. Because yesterday he talked
2013.
About...
2013?
Okay, well, yesterday he talked about feeling disrespected by, hey, you brought me all the way here, and it's a short meeting, so on and so forth. So someone went digging and found from April of 2013 an Aaron Rodgers tweet that said, meeting in person, greater than sign, phone call, always.
Yeah, okay. People change. You in 2012 is not the same person as
that's
you in 2025.
That's fair.
And you have different opinions. I work with a guy every day, Al Dukes, who is a completely polar opposite person from the time I met him. As we had this conversation yesterday on the podcast.
Yeah.
He is not the same person with the same beliefs of anything from 10 years ago.
True.
Admittedly, I'm not speaking out of turn. Am I? This is right?
Well, I'm not sure all of my beliefs have changed completely.
You know what I mean.
Some of them.
I did get him to admit, because I sensed we were going to go and that he was on Aaron Rodgers' side, and it's not that I'm on the Jets side. I just felt like, here we go with Rodgers. He spins it a certain way. So
I used to be fancy, full, and carefree. Now I'm
an ass face.
Fancy, full. Wow. I did get him to admit. I was like, if the Jets called him instead of bringing Rodgers in, that he could have easily said, like, oh, no, they couldn't even have the respect to meet
possible.
Him. And he did. He was like, yeah, I could see that.
I could see that too, sure.
Listen, the thing we're missing here is, he thought flying across the country for that interaction wasn't worth it.
Yes.
He thought that there was a chance they were going to tell him they were going to move on, but there would be hours meetings and they'd talk to each other and he'd pick his brain about what's going on with the organization.
Sure.
He said if this is the way that it was going to go, this could have been a phone call.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. That nice and tight.
Because
and
even the last game of the season, he was very, before that actually, he was very clear on this might be it. Like, I get it. They might go in a different direction. I understand. Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers was on with McAfee. He said...
yawn. Who cares what he said?
Me too, but I found this interesting.
What did he say?
Because both you and I think he's coming back, or at least thought he was coming back. And I guess one of the questions posed to him was, dude, what are you doing? The draft is next week. You going to be with the Steelers or not? Rodgers says, quote, I'll set it all straight from the jump. I'm in a different phase of my life. I'm 41 years old. I'm in a serious relationship. I have personal commitments I've made and people in my inner circle battling difficult stuff. To make a commitment to a team is a big thing.
Huh? Okay.
That's a lot there, BT. That's like...
I got to respect it. Hopefully everything's going to work out well for him. He's a human, even though it didn't get done with the Jets here. Happy he found somebody. And hopefully whatever family stuff he's going through is resolved there. That's what matters most there. But I don't know. I hate to be cynical, especially when he prefaces it with that. But at the risk of sounding callous or cynical, is this his way of just creating more drama and more suspense?
I believe what he's saying, but to the point before about the caller when he was talking about Soto and we don't know what's going on with his life, and then we were saying, well, you don't know what's going on with anybody. You still got a job to do. So all I could say is where Aaron Rodgers is saying, well, I got people in my inner circle that need me and I've made other commitments and I don't want to commit to a team. Okay, now the Steelers can choose to just say, that's great.
Yep.
Well, we're moving on.
Correct.
Or if Rodgers really did want to go play for the Steelers or anybody else, then he's got to make that commitment. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. He's got to choose. So the waiting game isn't in his control. It should be on the other teams. The Giants moved on.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're getting Russell Wilson. That's it. The Steelers shouldn't have to wait. Now, maybe they feel like their best option is to, in fact, wait. And, hey, we're in no hurry.
Yep.
We'll go with our draft accordingly. We don't care. It's not going to impact what we do anyway. But I don't, like, there's two things at play here. Rodgers can do whatever he wants, but there's also going to be, you know, repercussions of that.
Well, no, it's different than Soto. Like, repercussions, you know, Soto, you know, listen, you got 14 and three quarter years to go. You do have a job to do. Like, if there is something wrong, go do your job.
Right.
Right now, he's unemployed. He doesn't have any job to do right now. He's not property of the Steelers yet. He's no longer property of the Jets. The Giants didn't sign him. Nobody is not back with the Niners. Right now, he is Aaron Rodgers' free agent. So I don't think he's got a responsibility to anybody but himself.
Right. If he wants to play, he runs the risk of then having those teams like the Giants say, okay, well, we're not going to wait. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but I'm sure he's aware of that. I know he knows that. I think he's already factored that in.
But then maybe he doesn't care.
That's what I'm saying.
So then maybe he doesn't care enough to play, and that's well within his
right. I think that's possible. Right. I think that there might be a little transitional period here. He might be saying, all right, you know what? I like the Steelers situation better than the Giants, but I don't love it. So maybe what I'm going to wait throughout camp here. And if somebody gets hurt on a really, really good team, maybe that opens up a more appealing situation. I know he wants Minnesota more than anything, so that's not going to happen. But these guys would just tell me that he mentioned the Jets here.
Yeah.
Do we have the cut here, Hoff, or do you have...
I don't have any cuts here yet.
What did he say exactly about the Jets?
Okay, so what he said was he flew across to meet with everyone from the Jets and sat down in 20 seconds, was basically asked, do you want to play football? He said, yes. He goes, okay, then how do you want us to handle you being released? Because we're going to release you. They didn't even, in 20 seconds, there was no conversation about them actually working out how are you going to fit in with us?
Yeah.
It was basically, you're done. And he goes, why'd I fly out here? I flew out here to meet you guys to talk about football and get to know you to see how we can work together. And he was a little disappointed with that.
Can I tell you my first reaction? I feel a little more confident in this regime. I don't like that they did him dirty like that.
I have a problem with that.
You could have done that on a Zoom. I'm not going to exonerate him there. But the fact that they made such a quick decision, now it's unnecessarily callous to him to fly him out there. And if it's true, maybe he's a little exaggerating here, 20 seconds, maybe it was 20 minutes, whatever. But obviously it was a quick, without him getting a chance to get a better answer or explain himself. But the Jets knew what they wanted to do. They told them and they moved on. I don't like how they actually executed it, but I like that they finally got to their decision in a timely manner. Finally.
You know what that smells like to me? Woody. There's no way.
You think Woody was trying to get back to him? Just like I do.
Because there's no way. You think Aaron Glenn, a man amongst men, a football, you know, guy dedicated his life to playing football, coaching, coming up through the ranks, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You think Aaron Glenn would think that that's the best way to do business with Aaron Rodgers, regardless of what he did with the Jets organization or not? player to player, man to man, you have to respect what Aaron Rodgers has accomplished in his career, and I bet you Aaron Glenn does.
No question.
I would highly doubt that Aaron Glenn had Aaron Rodgers fly all the way across the country to meet the Jets, even if it were for 5 minutes, forget about 20 seconds, to tell him, hey, what are you feeling about playing? He says, yeah, I want to play. Okay, well, how do we want to go about releasing you then? Now, you're right. Maybe there's a little more nuance.
I mean, that's Aaron Rodgers' side of the story.
But I still trust Aaron Rodgers. The Jets haven't said that side of the story. I think that's got Woody Johnson written all over
it. Okay, now, it might. That's an interesting observation. It might. Now, if that's the case, it's petty, because I'm sure if that's the case, he did it because of what he said about his son, right? Remember the intimations? I'm going to get fired by a kid, whatever he said. I forget the exact quote. And if I'm Woody, that I can see why that would bother you. You try to dispel the notion that it's a circus in there, and you have your quarterback going out there and saying, the older son's firing me. So, all right, maybe that stuff, maybe he's very vindictive. That's not how I would operate. That's Bush League, though. Yeah, that is, if that transpired, I don't know. Now, it could be a little bit in between. Maybe they were truly giving him a chance to authentically communicate, man to, like, face eye to eye. When you look into somebody's eyes, it's the window to their soul. And they just didn't believe that he really wanted to play. And they read the room, they read the cards, and they made a quick decision. They said, we don't really know if you're all in. We're moving on.
And by the way, it's independent of the results of the decision or the actual decision, because they did make the right decision.
Yep, I know what you're saying.
I wanted Rodgers back. We were both on the same page with that. But this offseason already shows you it was the right move to move on. Because imagine the Jets. Imagine
still going through this now.
Oh my God! Forget about it.
Your partner would be in a straitjacket. I would have lost my mind.
I probably would have been right there with you. I know not to the same level, but you get the point. Imagine Muji and Glenn in the first year bringing Rodgers back and dealing with this nonsense. So it was the right move. However, if it went anywhere near the level that Rodgers said that it went, that to me shows Woody Johnson, because I don't believe there's any way Aaron Glenn would do that.
I agree with Glenn, and I agree with Muji, by the way. I like Aaron Rodgers. I've supported Aaron Rodgers. I think he could still play. I wanted him to stay if the new regime wanted him, but if not, I wanted them to make the decision and get a clean cut. They did. I don't believe the way he portrayed that meeting.
All right,
if I stand corrected, my bad. I believe he is slanting that to make the legit. There's got to be some middle ground. There is no way. And more I think about this, you fly somebody out, and whether it's 20 seconds or 2 minutes, you diss him, like, to that extent?
Maybe he's exaggerating a little bit.
Unacceptable for the Jets person. I don't believe that right now.
The main point, though, would be you flew him across country just to tell him that you're going to release him, where you didn't have to do that. Either way, that, I don't care how long it took, to me, that would be the mistake. Now, did the Jets have a response here?
No, but Brian Costello's following this, and he, in a social media tweet, just put out there, Rodgers said Glenn intimated that he was worried that Rodgers would undermine him.
To who? He said that
Glenn said that to Rodgers?
Rodgers, and on this McAfee interview, that Glenn intimated that he was worried that Rodgers would undermine him during.
Glenn intimated that to Rodgers or to other people?
No, to Rodgers.
In that meeting All right, so there's transparency.
I got no
problem with this.
I mean, I respect
that. Already,
from
I'm finding out it's not a 20-second meeting, unless Aaron Glenn speaks.
Well, no. His the 20-second was the 20
words could be said in 20
minutes.
No. He had no option. What he's saying is, in 20 seconds, I sat down and they never talked about football. It was, hey, do you want to keep on playing football? And his response was yes. Okay, cool. We're going to get rid of you. How do you want us to go about this? How do you want the PR to go? There was never. So he flew them over. He got flown over to be basically shown the door.
Okay. I see why you feel that. And I know why you feel the way you feel if this is true. And I will join you in saying that is incredibly unprofessional by the Jets and unacceptable and a bad look for future free agents, blah, blah, if it's true. To the extent that Rodgers is positioning it, I believe he's laying it on. That's why I said I'm a Rodgers fan and a believer. I like Aaron Rodgers, but he's also a little slippery with certain things. I do not believe the Jets did it the way he is saying that they did it.
This is juicy. Rami, what do you have here from Zach Rosenblatt? Rami says he has some stuff here.
All right, Rom.
Rosenblatt has a couple of things here. What he says, Aaron Rodgers is getting fired up. He is not a fan of Aaron Glenn, and this is just what.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers on Aaron Glenn, why would you not pick my brain? Which is a good question. Why would you not at least talk to him, see what Rodgers thinks. He's one of the best players. You're a first-time head coach, right? Why wouldn't you at least have a conversation with him? And then Rodgers said this, I felt there wasn't an ample amount of respect in that meeting. I guess I shouldn't have been surprised based on some of the things I saw over the 2 years.
Yeah, but that's not a Glenn Muji thing, so
that's
he's kind of lumping it all.
It sounds more like the owner.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got? I have
one other thing. Interesting. I love this.
I like this stuff.
This is from Garofalo. Rodgers says he had a great conversation with Giants head coach Brian Daboll. Really enjoyed him a lot. Called him a beautiful football mind.
Well, you know, that's because
now
it's expressing interest and
now
feeding into the
it's
ego.
Getting ugly.
He sees the Soto Judge stuff. He's stirring the New York sports pot.
Now here's the question that I would have, and I think that Rodgers is right in this aspect. Why wouldn't Glenn at least want to pick his brain about what went on, what he has here? Is just Glenn just doesn't respect Rodgers at all? He just didn't want him anywhere near the building?
Okay, so if I'm Aaron Glenn, I'm going to have a checklist here. And the column left is favorable for me if I engage with Aaron Rodgers and pick his brain like we're saying maybe he should.
Right.
The other column is it would have more of a negative impact. So, yeah, I would say in column one on the left-hand side it could be favorable by not only picking the brains of Rodgers, like what happened with Rodgers, although it almost doesn't matter what happened with the previous administration. I would have used his interactions with the roster to maybe gain some intel on some of the players that I'm about to coach.
Right.
Like, to me, that's common sense. But what I really think, Sal, I think that Glenn Muji and obviously Woody, I don't think that they were fully convinced that Rodgers wanted to play and or that he could play at the level that they need him to play
and
at. So they didn't want to waste any time because they didn't want it to drag out like everything else dragged out with Aaron Rodgers with the Jets. They wanted to very quickly show everybody that we're moving at a different speed, which I do. I appreciate that.
And by the way, they were right about that. Regardless of how we think that they handled the meeting or and it also proves that Keyshawn might have been right when we were insinuating maybe he was not 100% accurate when he said
when he
flat
said
out,
you're streaking. Remember talking about Keyshawn, right?
Yeah, when he said about Glenn, there's no way he would.
He
want.
Said I'll go streaking. Glenn, yes,
bingo.
same conversation.
Well, then what Rodgers is saying adds up to that, where Glenn had no interest, and maybe I'm wrong to think that this was a Woody thing. Maybe it was just Aaron Glenn. Hoff, you said you have one more.
I know.
Thing.
I just have a question, serious question. What is more insulting to this whole situation? Is it by having him fly over, or what would have been more insulting? Flying him out, not having him even talk about football, and just saying, "Hey, we're moving on from you," or just sending a text message being like, "We're done."
Why couldn't they just have this conversation over the phone, or like you said, BT over Zoom, and be like, "Here, Aaron, we respect what you did, even if you don't. Just class thing
you
do.
You got to preface it with that.
Okay. We respect.
But we don't know that they didn't. Like, maybe they did.
But we do know that he flew all the way here to have them say, we don't want you.
Okay, but maybe he's leaving out the stuff where they actually did do the right thing and prefaced it with, hey, we respect you,
But the point is, from his perspective, he's thinking he's getting on a plane to come across the country to sit and talk with the new head coach and general manager to find out the future of him and the organization. When that fate was already sealed, they knew what they were going to do. And that's not the wrong thing. But if you know what you're going to do, why have him come all the way here just to sit him down and say, well, we're going to release you? However long it may have taken, I understand where Rodgers is coming from in that aspect, where they could have just done over Zoom and be like, hey, let's have a quick initial meeting, see where you're at. And then they could play it that way and say, hey, we respect everything you've done. Where are you at with your football career? Okay, you still want to play? That's great. We respect that, but we're thinking we're going to move on from you. What's the best way that you want to do that? You don't have to have...
I know. That would have been the right way to do it, to soften the blow of getting ready to move on from a legend who deserves respect. I got that. But now if they would have done that, all right, hey, come on in for a meeting. We won't make our decision. Let's just get to know each other. You tell us what you want. We'll tell you what we're thinking. Yeah. We'll start to flush this out. Now, if it wouldn't have been flushed out there, it would have been a 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe a week... maybe two, like, week cycle of news that the Jets were just desperately trying to get away from.
I'm with you, which is why at the end of the day, I love Rodgers.
Me too.
This is the best thing that they could have done is just move on.
Jets getting cutthroat.
This is This is not.
It's about time, man. Instead of getting trampled.
I get it. This is not. It'll be a problem for the next day. I'm sure we'll talk about it more tomorrow when we hear actually some of the sound bites from Rodgers. But after that, Rodgers is somebody else's problem and not the Jets' problem.
And what the Jets should not do, and I'm sure they're going to be tempted to do this, don't even respond. I think if you respond, you just pump life into it. The story's going to die.
We wish him well.
Yeah, but like the last thing the Jets, even though it would satisfy some emotions, which I understand, like you don't want to be improperly positioned as like unprofessional or callous or insensitive. Like that's not really necessary. But if the Jets issue a statement or somebody goes on the radio, but that's not going to happen. Like maybe a statement.
Yep.
You know, hey, we respect Aaron Rodgers, but we strongly disagree with his positioning of however they want to do it. It's still not worth it because now it's another day of news cycle and dissection. Just let him say what he said. He's still talking on McAfee. He'll be off McAfee in 10 minutes. Tomorrow's tomorrow. If the Jets turn the page, Rodgers needs to do the same.
Also, if you do address it or acknowledge it, you're kind of admitting some guilt or wrongdoing where I would just, if you trust that you didn't do anything wrong.
Yep.
Just say we wish Aaron Rodgers well.
Yeah, but
that's it.
Okay, I disagree a little bit.
Let us rip them.
Let us do it.
Wait, yeah, why not? Let the negative stuff happen.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable enough to know that you did the right thing,
yeah.
If you're Glenn, if you're Muji, if you're Woody and the Jets, and you feel like you handled it the right way, then there's no need to acknowledge it. Let Rodgers say whatever he wants. We're moving forward. We handled it how we had to handle it. We trusted the way that we did it. I'm not getting more into it. Just like Aaron Judge. I'm not going into a back and forth thing. Soto's there. He's got a great hitter. That's it. Hey, why am I going to a back and forth thing with Rodgers? He's no longer here. We're moving on.
I think it's easier said than done. I don't disagree conceptually. I think generally that's, and I even said it before you, I would not talk.
Right.
But if it does get hijacked, and let's face it, the Jets are the low-hanging fruit, although not everybody loves Rodgers, so maybe you get a few people defending the Jets here, like in the national media. If the Jets become a punching bag the next
still,
day.
Still, dude, stand strong.
I know. I don't disagree. But it's going to be harder to do that if you are now being positioned still as a third-rate circus franchise when you didn't do what he's saying, if you didn't do what he said you did.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Let's go to Corey in Edison, New Jersey to kick it off. How are you, Corey?
What's up, Corey?
Hey, fellas. So the number one job for Glenn this offseason to me is to root out any sense of entitlement that might exist in that building. Mm. So for Rodgers to go on McAfee and talk about all the things that he views he's entitled to is exactly the reason why he's gone. And I say good riddance. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate you. I think that's going to be more the Jet reaction is, hey, we're happy. He's gone. And even if you did want him back, I think you're still okay that he's not back.
Yeah, look, I was leaning towards the side of moving on from him. Mm-hmm. But I admitted during the lead up to the decision, it was very mixed for me because
right.
I thought Aaron Rodgers in the shortest of terms gives you the best chance to win in 2025.
I don't disagree with that.
But from a cap perspective, from a yes, changing the culture perspective, starting anew, I understood it. All I wanted was this breakup to be smart. I wanted this breakup to be open-minded. Mm. I didn't want the owner just to come down and say, we're not bringing him back. And I do feel better that that wasn't the case.
Right.
But I wanted there to be an open-mindedness to it. And for Aaron Glenn to bring him into a meeting and 6 seconds in, first time he's really meeting the guy, to say, we're moving on, doesn't feel like it featured the open-mindedness
right.
that this deserved. Let's go to Mike in Flatbush. How are you, Mike?
I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
I completely agree with Tiki. Move silent. You don't have to issue any statements. Move on. But I think that the meeting was conducted, or Glenn brought Aaron over in good faith. But I think the key, and I don't know if you want to play it back, but that first question was the key. He wanted to see how Rodgers would react.
Mm.
And when he said, I'm interested, you know, like what are you going to, you know, what do you have for me?
Mm.
That's not the answer that he wanted.
By the
he
way,
wanted-
you're intriguing me now, Mike.
Right.
See, this is what I wanted in a meeting. I think face-to-faces are very, very important in life, not just in football.
Right.
I think the look on someone's face, the mm-hmm. response by someone, that's why I defended.
The respect.
There was absolutely.
Right, all of that.
I like that Glenn immediately asked him that question. So let's honor Mike's request. If you're just tuning in, here is the first clip we played. This is Aaron Rodgers explaining how the meeting began on the Pat McAfee show earlier today.
That was an interesting 2 years, to say the least. But, you know, I figured that when I flew across country on my own dime, that there was going to be a conversation. And the confusing thing to me, and the strange thing, was, you know, when I went out there, I meet with the coach. We start talking. He runs out of the room. I'm like, that's kind of strange. I was like, then he comes back with the GM. And I'm like, all right.
Okay. Is that the first clip?
Yeah, that was the first
clip. No, play the second clip, because I think it's when he asks him specifically, do you want to play? By the way, here's what's weird about the first clip, and tell me if this is a power move. Glenn leaving the room immediately to go get Muji feels like a weird, you wait for me, little boy, while I come back.
Right, I'm in charge.
Yes. I read that right?
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
All right, here's the second clip, because I think this is what our last caller was referring to, and it was a direct question Glenn asked Aaron Rodgers.
All right. So we sit down in the office, and I think we're going to have this long conversation. I've flown across the country, and 20 seconds in, he goes, I mean, literally, I'm talking to the GM about something, and he leans to the edge of his seat and goes, so do you want to play football? And I was like, yeah, I'm interested. And he said, we're going a different direction at quarterback.
All right. So, and all right, enough of that. What our last caller is implying is that Glenn asked him, do you want to play football, almost as a let me see how he responds.
Mm-hmm.
If the immediate response from Glenn was, we're moving on, then was he really caring about Aaron Rodgers' answer?
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
He wasn't.
So he was saying, do you want to play football? And when it wasn't, absolutely, and I want to do it for the New York Jets, it became, well, we're moving on.
There's no way Rodgers was going to say that. He doesn't know Aaron Glenn and Aaron Muji.
I know, but if he had, then maybe then you have a conversation. But when he says, yeah, I'm open to that, it's just it's a non-answer.
So do you think if Aaron Rodgers did respond, yes, and I want to be a New York Jet,
yes,
this meeting goes differently?
Definitely.
So that was a test by Glenn to see, is this man going to bet for his job?
That's what our last caller was intimating.
Do you agree with that?
And he might be right.
Interesting.
Because, I mean, I don't know Aaron Glenn, but I know Dan Campbell, and it's no nonsense. It's I'm not testing you, but I'm talking to you specifically for a reason, in a certain way for a reason, and I want to hear the right answer.
See, here's the part of there are three.
It's psychology.
Yeah,
right?
I get
you
that.
You got to be part psychologist as a head coach.
I think that there are three sides to every story, right? We got Roger's side, according to you, and I kind of agree with you. We're never going to get Glenn's side. We're never going to get that. And then there's the truth somewhere in the middle. Listening to Rodgers all these years now on Pat McAfee, I can imagine. I'm going to be Rodgers, you be Glenn. Ask me if I want to play football.
Hey, Evan, you want to play football?
I'm Aaron Rodgers. You got to call me Aaron.
Oh, hey, Aaron Rodgers. But really, Evan, do you want to play football?
Well, you know, it's a lot going on in my personal life. I got this new girlfriend. By the way, I adopted a dog. New Jersey's a wonderful place.
Hey, thanks for coming, Aaron. I'll talk to you. I'll be right back.
The Jets suck.
Like, knowing Aaron Rodgers, he did not succinctly answer the question.
No, and sometimes you just need a succinct answer.
No, I agree. But knowing Rodgers, I'm calling it like it is. He's a babbler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it because I can be a babbler too.
We see it every week, or at least we did see it every week.
So he may have given an answer that caused Aaron Glenn to say that, but I don't buy it. I think the king, and that's who Aaron Glenn is.
Shut up. that's kind of what Aaron Glenn
said.
That's what Aaron Glenn was thinking in his head. Yeah. Shut up. We're moving in another direction.
Let's go to John in Danbury, Connecticut. Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for taking the call, guys.
What's up, John?
And I do have to side with Tiki on this because this new regime doesn't owe the fans anything at this point. They are trying to establish their culture. They are trying to establish their messaging. And I think the last thing you want to do is, A, kick the can down the road. But also, Evan, you are hung up on this point of, you know, why didn't they pick his brain about things?
Yeah.
And to Tiki's point, I don't think he had his finger on the pulse of this team. I don't think he's going to tell you, hey, Garrett Wilson likes positive affirmations at Tuesday on film day, and you have to tell him that he's a good wide receiver, or else he's going to get really angry, and you got to give him a chocolate milk. Like, that's not how it works. You know, this was a failing organization with failed coaching. They lost the locker room. And what benefit were they going to get out of it? Like, hey, what was going on? What was the vibe like when crap was hit the fan? Like, you're not going to get any valuable information. Hang on, because this is important.
Okay.
You don't go into a situation, especially in a leadership position, with preconceived notions, because that can taint your image going forward
100%.
Of what you're trying to do.
Right. Yep.
And if he starts putting these connotations of positive or negative, and then you get into the situation and it's a complete 180, now you have to go back on that conversation and say, what else was he, you know, telling his side on, but not everyone else's side.
So
on.
I think that's a great point,
that's
John.
Solid. That's a good point.
So let me counter with this, because there's another reason why this meeting and the length of it bothers me. And it actually is something you said, and you've been consistent about this. You said in the opening of this show, and you've said it numerous times, from a football perspective, Aaron Rodgers gave the Jets the best chance to win in 2024.
Right.
Okay. That's where this became difficult for a lot of people, including myself. Because that statement, I don't want to say it's undeniable, but most of us would agree with that.
Right, of course.
Okay.
But I also think that maybe that's not the most important thing
okay.
right now.
Okay. So let's just stick with that, because I'm going to tell you why I think the meeting needed to go longer as well. Aaron Glenn looks at the tape, comes away probably thinking the same thing. He's a good football guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the only reason you'd be moving on from Aaron Rodgers would be his age, would be what you've heard about him in the room,
yep.
would be what you said, that he's such a bright sun, or actually you said black hole, that's going to distract from me as the head coach.
That's his perception.
Okay. If those are the reasons you moved on from Rodgers, but we're all going to agree, or at least you, Glenn, me are going to agree, he gave him the best chance to win,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you go in the meeting and see what the dude's actually all about you make that final decision?
By the way, I agree with you.
Thank you.
I'm just explaining to you what Aaron Glenn did. Because I didn't meet Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I've been around football for 30-something years at this point. I didn't meet Aaron Rodgers and have a real conversation with him until last year for the first time. And you have these preconceived notions about him.
Right.
You just can't help it because he's everywhere, right? Especially when he was playing and talking on Pat McAfee, you get all this, I don't know, this act. Like, you get it all. That's why I always say he's one of the greatest manipulators of media that's ever done it, right? But when you go sit in a room with him, it's a completely different feel. It's a completely different conversation. And you leave it going, yeah, I kind of like that dude. Right? I get it.
Why would you close the door on that?
Because I think he was just, Aaron Glenn is just ready to move on and doesn't want to give it the chance because he doesn't need to give it the chance.
I think what bothers me, and maybe this is my geekiness of studying presidents, I think the best presidents are the ones that listen to everybody mm-hmm. before they make their final decision.
Yeah, but presidents get 4 years.
I don't want to be in front of the room mm-hmm. and people looking back at you. How right. do you take that if you were the player in this situation?
If I was Aaron Rodgers
in
this situation?
What's Glenn telling him?
He's telling him that he's a black hole. That energy goes towards him and gets sucked into him. And even if it's not the focus, like we should be focusing on the sun, that would be the head coach, everything gets sucked into the black hole. You know what I mean? And so I think he's not wrong about that. And Aaron, over his career, that's actually been a good thing. You know what I mean? Because he's such a good on-field leader. Now, the off-field stuff and the off-season stuff, that's left some things to be desired at certain points of his career. I don't think that was the case with the Jets, but in Green Bay, we all know the stories. And so I think Aaron Glenn just doesn't want to have to deal with that big cosmic energy behind him.
What did Aaron Rodgers say in response to that from the head coach?
Interesting.
And I said, what does that even mean? Are you assuming that I would be in the back of the room during a team meeting undermining what you're saying? I said, you don't know me. And he said, you don't know me. And then I said, exactly, which is why I flew across the country to have a face-to-face meeting with you to talk about my experience with the Jets and to hear your vision for the team. 20 seconds in.
I don't like that. If we believe what Aaron is saying is true, because I understand there are going to be people who say Rodgers is a liar, it's not true, that's not what happened, and my response would be, all right, let Darren Mooney and Aaron Glenn tell their side of the story, which they may never do, but I don't like the way this came across. And it doesn't mean they had to bring Aaron Rodgers back. It means I don't think you have a meeting with a Hall of Fame quarterback who was in the room for the last 2 years and basically tell him, you're fired, how do you want us to report it? You're going to take over the locker room. No one's going to listen to what I'm saying. And then it sounds like, this is the way it sounds. It sounds like two big egos got into a pissing match.
Mm-hmm. Same old Jets.
Because right. Aaron Rodgers said, you don't know me. And Aaron Glenn probably got defensive and said, you don't know me.
Yeah.
And if I didn't know better, this could have ended much uglier than the way it's being described.
No, it sounds like it could have. But I think you're right about that. At least that this is two massive egos who clearly don't like each other. Now, I don't know if that was a pre-existing prejudice or if that was the vibe that they got when they were in the room together. I don't know if they have any relationship. I would assume they would have at least met. I mean, they played in Aaron Glenn played, right?
Yeah.
In the era?
Yes, they intertwined a couple of years.
So yeah. Maybe not a ton, but there's got to be some kind of familiarity with either one.
You
but
would it, think
but
Aaron
it
Rodgers
feels like there's a massive, massive ego wall.
By the way, just for the record, they didn't intertwine too much because Aaron Glenn's final year in the NFL was 2008.
Oh yeah, so not really much
so
at all.
So it was very short. He only played four games that year for the New Orleans Saints.
Right, so not at all, really.
Yeah.
So they never played against each other. So it's one of those, but I don't know. You just feel like there's a crossover when guys are close in proximity. Even if you don't play them, you know about them. But maybe that's the issue. Aaron Glenn knows about Aaron Rodgers.
Right, here's the last clip from Aaron Rodgers explaining this awful 20-second meeting that he had with the New York Jets.
What I thought was going to be a couple-hour meeting turned into like a 15-minute meeting. And I walked out of there. But
so at that moment,
that was a strange meeting for sure.
Obviously,
there was no me pleading like, please have me on the team. No. I don't want any part of that. It was already a debacle in some cases. Listen, that whole situation was crazy. And I think even that was a little rogue by the head coach.
Look here's my issue. I'm happy. I'm weirdly happy that this is over.
Right. Pull the Band-Aid, man.
Like,
let it go.
No, I am. Okay, so I eventually came to the conclusion they were better off moving on. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was a slam dunk because I think the man can still play, and I think you could have tried to develop a quarterback in the meantime. But all of this, and when I say this, I mean this.
Right.
Like, going on the radio, and I respect it because he's, I think, being honest and telling us the behind the scenes. I appreciate that. But it also can be, you know, head-inducing painful.
It was already a debacle.
No, I know, Aaron. You don't have to tell me what it was. I watched it. I watched the whole thing. So I do agree, Teak, that at the end of the day, they made the right decision moving on.
Mm-hmm.
I do not like the way that meeting took place, if that's the way it took place. I think it shows a closed-mindedness from this general manager, from this head coach.
I think he just knew that he didn't want Aaron Rodgers.
Talk to him, Teak.
But why?
Why not? How about that? Why not? What's the worst that happens when you talk to the guy for 2 hours and you pick his brain?
Because he doesn't have 2 hours to waste.
Oh, come on with that.
I mean, seriously, a head coach, you got so many things that you got to worry about,
and that's wasting.
Other than talking to a player that you don't want on your team.
No,
by the way, I know you say he was there for 2 years. He was really there for a year.
Okay, he was there for a year plus because he was still a part of training camp. He was still a part of meeting. He was a part of the organization. Aaron Rodgers was a part of the organization for the last 2 years. Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I completely disagree with your premise that that's a waste of time. How's that a waste of time?
It's
talk
a waste
to a guy who was in that room
in
for 2 years.
Time. But what are you getting from that?
What aren't you getting from it? I'm going to return your questions with questions.
You're not getting anything that's pertinent to what you're doing in 2025, that's for sure.
You can see what went wrong. You could talk to a guy that was a part of it.
I think it's obvious what went wrong. Aaron wasn't very good.
That wasn't the only thing.
I know it wasn't, but it wasn't. But like, what's Aaron going to inform you on? What, your defensive schemes? Like, I think this player does this really well. I think just your left tackle needs to work on whatever. You can see that. Right? The thing about football is that you can look at the eye in the sky, the all 22 version, and basically figure out what the hell went wrong on any given play. Mm-hmm. You can see it. You can take it player by player and what's supposed to happen and what didn't happen or what did happen. You don't need Aaron Rodgers to tell you that.
Well, because I'm not talking about the schematics of what happened. I'm talking about the person, but it's the personalities, the locker room.
The only thing that a player, and this would only apply if he was very long tenured, could tell you about is the culture of an organization.
Yes.
And I don't think Aaron Rodgers had his pulse on the culture of the New York Jets. I just don't. First of all, he wasn't there for his first year. I know he got hurt immediately, but we know what happened. He gets hurt, he is gone. Right? The Jets doctors had nothing to do with his surgery or right. Most of his rehabilitation. He wasn't around other than talking about the Jets from afar on Pat McAfee. And then last year, that place got chaotic quick.
Yeah.
They fired their head coach 5 games into the season.
Yes.
And so anything that you would glean from that is it's already defecated and flushed down the toilet. None of it matters going forward. And so if you're Aaron Glenn, what do you need to regurgitate BS for? I mean that in a literal sense, like almost. Like that's really what they were going through. Like a bunch of nonsense that is not informative of how you're going to be better a year from now or a year from then.
So you think it was just a waste of time to even meet with the guy? Then why meet with the guy?
I don't know.
Then fire him over the phone.
Honestly, I have no idea why that was necessary.
Look, I know it bothers Aaron Rodgers that he got on a plane on his own dime, not that any of us give a damn about his dime.
It was his own private plane. It's not like he flew United cross-country.
Yeah, and Evan, this is important to remember this. Aaron Rodgers had a problem with the way the Packers handled him over the phone and not meeting with him in person.
But again, I'm not caring about...
Right. But that's them showing respect to him because he had a problem with the other way.
I'm not caring about Aaron Rodgers' feelings. I know in that clip, Aaron's pissed off that he wasted his time flying to New Jersey to get fired. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers.
But you just said, why did they not do this on the phone?
Well, I asked that question. You think it's because of the way the Packers got rid of him?
Yeah.
You think it's because Aaron Glenn wants to be respectful when, meanwhile, 6 seconds into the interview, he basically said you're fired and then said you're going to be a distraction in the back of the room? You think Aaron Glenn gave a rat's ass about that?
I think if the player is already on record of complaining about the way it was handled one way and Aaron Glenn then does it the other way, I think that's exactly showing respect.
Oh, you think it's respectful to say to a guy, we don't want you on your team 6 seconds into a meeting?
You 20 so? Seconds in, and I
20, also... 20, I apologize. Yeah. I was off by 14
seconds. And let's
seconds.
Also remember...
Honestly, I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
I really would. I'd rather know. So don't waste my time talking to me for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Just tell me. I'd rather know.
This was an obvious dog and pony show. It was a setup because Woody Johnson doesn't want Aaron Rodgers on the Jets, and he had Aaron Glenn do his dirty work for him. Whoever got hired as head coach and general manager had to do the owner's bidding. Now they're going to prop up Aaron Glenn like he's the former player, the savior. He got rid of Aaron Rodgers. Sure. Okay. The owner didn't want him there, so they did a dog and pony show to embarrass him.
It certainly sounds...
Because why were they so sensitive when they had their opening press conference?
Just from people who know, I know that this was an Aaron Glenn decision.
Yeah, and I don't know people, I'll trust you. Right. This sounds like an Aaron Glenn decision.
It definitely
this
was.
Sounds like, I am the king now, get that fake king out of my building. So, I trust you, because you obviously know people inside the NFL, but yes. I'll be the fan along with Tommy. Tommy's fan fiction is, it's all the owner. Maybe the owner didn't want him back. I don't necessarily disagree with that part. But I listen to this, and my fan fiction is, this is Aaron Glenn saying, get the hell out of my room.
Right.
I'm the king now.
I want control. I want to be able to do this exactly my way, and I'm not compromising it at all.
That's how I took it. That's how I took the way Aaron Rodgers described it. Mm-hmm. And I think the mistake... And you may not construe this as a mistake, but the mistake I think Aaron Glenn made and Darren Mougee made is I think they should have gotten ahead of this. And I think that when they were asked questions about the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers, instead of punting it away, instead of saying, we're not going to talk about it, maybe they should have said, here's what happened.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem I have as a Jet fan. Aaron Rodgers is the only voice who on the record has said anything about what happened.